This is the iPhone LA Podcast, episode 23 for October 6th, 2008. Fabulous! All right, it is time for the iPhone LA Podcast. I am Michael Johnston, and this is the show that discusses all things iPhone, iTunes, iPod Touch, and with me tonight, fabulous panel is here, Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How's it going with you, Jeff?
Just fine. And I think it's been a while since I've been called fabulous, so wow, cool.
Fabulous. It's the fabulous Jeff Gamet.
Yes. And that is Ken Ray of macOSKen.com. Hello, Ken.
Apparently, I am not fabulous.
We are all fabulous.
No, it's all right. No, it's fine. Hey, dude, I'm cool. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
And
you know, and I think you're fabulous.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I should sing it, though.
Oh, man.
Fabulous.
I can already
Thank
tell this is going to be a great
Thank
show.
You.
Yeah, filled with antics. I don't know.
Mirth and merriment.
Mirth and merriment. There you go.
Michael, I think it's safe to assume you've already lost complete control over your show.
That's fine. I never intended to have any control over it. I just get a bunch of people together and put some a list of things to talk about in front of them, and we hopefully the goal at the end of the podcast, you know, when we get really into it, we're not even going to talk about all these things that I've told you we're going to talk about, all this list of iPhone stuff.
Perfect. Then we're already completely on track.
Yes. And Arnold Kim will be joining us hopefully soon from MacRumors.com, and so we'll get him on if he finds his way to the Skype. The first thing we're going to talk about today, Apple released iTunes 8.01 this week, and includes quite a few fixes and improvements to the Genius. The first thing, I didn't even hear about this, but it addresses an issue that some users were reporting, that their HDTV episodes were being deleted right in the middle of downloading.
Dope.
Now, was it, I thought what I had heard about it, and correct me if I'm wrong, I thought it was because it wasn't separating out the standard definition from the high definition, and you were getting a copy of each when you downloaded it. But the problem was, if you had simultaneous download,
okay,
HD would start downloading, and then that's really cool, and everything seems to be going fine. But then when the standard definition started downloading, I don't think it was actually erasing the HD, but you just couldn't see it anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Does that sound right? Because I kind of skimmed over that story like a week or two ago, and I was glad to see that they had fixed it, but I haven't bought an HDTV show from iTunes.
Well, Jeff, you would know more
than
me.
It does sound familiar.
Okay. Wow, so this is what we're doing, huh? Does that sound right to you?
We're just
yeah, it sounds
guessing.
Right to me.
Sure.
Why not?
Okay. You know what? I tell you what, we'll just change it right now. Yes, that's absolutely right. Everything Ken says tonight is spot on.
Yeah, that's right. Everything I say is right. Hey, did you hear about the heart attack? Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't think everything anybody says can possibly be.
I'm still having people come up to me and you know, say, hey, did you hear that Steve Jobs had a heart attack?
Nice.
Yeah, and I really enjoy saying, no, he didn't have a heart attack. That was actually a rumor started by people from 4chan.
Well, okay.
That's what I heard from Arnold Kim's blog, anyway. That it originated from a group of jerks on 4chan, who I guess either submitted it to a bunch of different blogs, or maybe they blogged it themselves.
Well, they did send it to a few different blogs, but where it actually picked up its steam was being an iReport, CNN iReport, that whole citizen journalism thing.
Yeah,
I think we all agree now is just a sham, and we should all stop.
Right? Yeah, citizen journalism doesn't work.
Yeah, if nobody's signing your check but you, then you have no business talking about anything. It is crazy how upset people have gotten and how much they're putting. Well, on macOS Ken Day 6 this weekend, I talked to financial analyst Rob Black, and I asked him about that whole thing, and he basically said, hey, Wall Street is scared of its own shadow right now. So if anybody says, seriously, if you went to Cupertino and got on a roof someplace and just started going, oh my God, Steve Jobs, are you okay? Their stock might go down $5 right there.
Yeah.
It's just a scary, scary time. But it's really cool, and I'm trying to think of what I'm going to do next. I mean, I'm sure those people who scared everyone about Steve Jobs are trying to figure out what they're going to do next.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't me. I didn't mean to get us that far off track. My apologies.
That's totally fine. Yeah. That's why I have the guests, so we can talk about more than just like what I want to talk about. Because I don't want to just tell you what you're going to talk about. You can bring what you want to the show. That's fine. Just as long as it's not like, hey, my cat, it's really cool. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't. I'm really. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, back to iTunes. They fixed a lot of other stuff too, stuff with voiceover for the iPods and syncing spoken menus to the iPod Nano. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant by voiceover. There's no voiceover on an iPod. It's the spoken menu thing. Anyway, but the really cool thing, the thing I was really excited about, the thing that everybody said, no, you're stupid, this doesn't happen, the part where you're listening to something and you go and click the Genius button to get, create a Genius playlist from what you're listening to, it actually starts playing that song over again, which was really irritating, and it didn't happen that way on the iPod and the iPhone. So now it'll just continue playing that song. It'll generate your playlist, and then it'll keep going, so it's nice and seamless. So that's really cool. So if you haven't updated your iTunes, go to the software update, or I guess if you're on Windows, do whatever you do with the checking for updates. Because I don't use Windows, clearly. Okay, so moving on, let's talk about Fring, new VoIP application now in the App Store. If you haven't heard of Fring before, it was a popular voiceover IP application in the installer application back when jailbreaking, was a huge deal. Now it's just kind of done by a few people who, still unlock their phones and who really want to kind of push the iPhone even more towards insanity because it's, not perfectly stable already and they feel the need to, poke fun at it. Anyway, I don't jailbreak my phone, which is weird. So we're talking about Fring, and it's now official. It's in the App Store. You don't have to jailbreak, and it is a free application. And the idea with Fring is that it just gives you access to services like Skype and Gizmo Project, so you can literally, use your iPhone the way you normally would, making a call, but you're using Skype or Gizmo or whatever. And you can also do instant messaging through AIM and many other services, and you can also do Twitter through it. So it's really cool. So Ken, you were talking to me about this right before the show. Your thoughts on Fring being released into the App Store? Why don't you tell me about that?
Well, I mean, it just raises an interesting question as far as what it is Apple will accept as an application and what it won't. I mean, leave off Murder Drum, which was a question over content. The two apps that I can think of that they've most famously said we're not going to be in the App Store before they slapped the NDA on people who didn't get their apps in the App Store were Podcaster and Mail Wrangler, both of which it was assumed or people just sort of decided. The reason they didn't allow them, especially with Podcaster, was because they sort of duplicated some of the functionality of the software that was already on there. Like it was repeating the function of iTunes, supposedly Podcaster was.
Right.
But here comes Fring, which is a voiceover IP client or a voiceover IP facilitator, which is going to repeat the function of telephony on a phone.
Right.
So they have a problem with anything that sort of duplicates what Apple does, but they have no problem with an application duplicating what AT&T does, which is kind of weird. Now, they had said, I think back in March when they introduced the App Store, that voiceover IP clients were going to be fine. that they would allow them. But it's very, it, I mean, it's there's just something a little weird about, you know, I mean, Podcaster was trying to do something that the iPhone does not, in fact, do. Right. iTunes does it, but iTunes does it on your computer, and you have to hook up your phone to your computer to actually make it catch the podcast, and Podcaster didn't do that. And you could even say, well, AT&T was trying to protect, Apple was trying to protect AT&T and their bandwidth at that point. I'm sure AT&T is going to be much happier about the fact that people will be able to make phone calls without using their minutes.
Well, to be perfectly clear, you're not allowed to use, you can't use Fring over or voice over IP over the cellular network. You do have to use Wi-Fi.
Okay. So, okay. Fair enough. I get that, but still, I would be a little surprised if AT&T is going to look on it smiling.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I don't know. You know, going back to Podcaster, at least, I was kind of thinking, and I wanted to raise this point to Alex when he was on the show last week, but I because of all the Skype problems, I totally forgot about it. But I was going to see what he thought about if he was going to charge for Podcaster, because then Apple would get a cut. It would be a small cut, but at least, you know, there would be a little more incentive for Apple to put it up on the store. Mm. So, you know, I guess that really doesn't, is it more that they don't have an excuse here with Fring, because they said that, you know, they're going to allow VoIP applications on there. And obviously saying that, you know, iTunes can download podcasts is kind of a lame excuse, because there are a lot of other things out there besides the iPhone that do things that the iPhone doesn't do that you could put on the iPhone and say, well, you're duplicating the feature of this thing that's out there, so we're not going to allow it. It's kind of a stupid reason.
I don't know. I don't even necessarily want to know what their justification is for doing Fring or not doing Fring. It just raises an interesting point again. I mean, it does strike me as a little bit odd. And I don't, to me, there's really no getting to the bottom of it, because even if we get to the bottom of it, I still think it's kind of stupid that Podcaster's not on there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, on something that they're not even trying to monetize. And that's cool that they don't want to monetize it. I'm totally fine with Apple not monetizing podcasts. It, you know, leaves more room for, you know, us to monetize podcasts if we want to try to. But I mean, it's not like you're even cutting into their bottom line by doing that.
Yeah.
Just kind of bizarre. I'm sorry, Jeff, I think I interrupted you.
That's okay, because it all works out in the end. All right, so I see two problems here. The first one is that Steve Jobs made it clear in the beginning that the whole iPhone application thing was going to be pretty wide open, and there were going to be nearly unlimited restrictions. There we go. And then what we're finding out down the road is that we have applications like Podcaster that get shot down, but Fring gets through. So, you know, we have the first problem. We've all been told, hey, you can do pretty much anything you want. And then the second problem is Apple's not telling anyone what we really can do. And they need to set up transparency so that the developers know what they can and can't write, and then the end users know what they can or shouldn't expect as potential apps on the iPhone.
Yeah, well, I think that they're, you know, obviously they're not happy with how everything is working with the App Store and the approval process and all of that. And we've obviously seen that with, of course, them changing things and reordering things, but also to bring this up, the NDA, they have actually dropped the NDA. They posted a letter on their website saying, to our developers, we have decided to drop the non-disclosure agreement for released iPhone software. And basically they're saying that, however, the NDA has created too much of a burden on developers, authors, and others interested in helping further the iPhone success. So we are dropping it for released software. So basically everything that's, you know, out there, the developers can talk about, which makes a ton of sense, obviously, which, you know, it was one of the huge complaints that we were always hearing about. So obviously stuff that's still, pre-release stuff like, iPhone 2.2, that's still under the NDA. But I mean, do you think that we're going to start seeing more transparency from Apple as they kind of get stuff organized? It seems like they're still kind of in the chaos of getting the App Store up and running and up to what they really want it to be. Do you think we're going to see the Apple giving the developers a list of things that they cannot do?
No. No, I don't see that happening. I think Apple will get all this other stuff sorted out, and they'll have the App Store running smoother, and the whole approval process will go better. But I think in the end, we're not going to see a list of yes apps and no apps come out.
Do you think
that's kind of too bad?
It really is.
I know. It's very disappointing.
Well, if you're a developer from that standpoint, you spend a lot of time and effort and resources on creating an application. And if you submit it to Apple and they say no, that was a big waste of time, obviously. And so I guess that the best response for a developer when that does happen is to release it to the jailbreaking community, I think. So, and I'm not really sure why Null River never released NetShare, because it's actually a very, very good application, because it works much better than most of the current tethering options for jailbreak phones, because some of them involve like terminal commands and stuff like that. Like we've talked about before on the show, the jailbreaking community and what they're doing and the apps that are available there is probably going to push Apple further in what they're allowing developers to do on the iPhone software development kit. So, you know, Podcaster was released on Cydia. The version 1.1 was recently released this week. And I guess that's what developers should do. Unless you guys do you guys disagree that developers should release their apps if they're denied?
If that developer ever wants to sell anything through the App Store, they shouldn't.
you think that Apple's going to get TO'd about that and say, well, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if Al thinks he's going to be able to write something else for the App Store, I mean, after first of all, making the end run with Ad Hoc and then openly releasing it in the jailbreak community, yeah, he's done as far as developing for the App Store, I think. We've seen Apple be fairly, what's the word I'm looking for? Mean.
Yeah.
To people who have crossed it in the past, or people that they perceive have crossed it. And God bless them. I love them for it. Thank you very much, Mr. Jobs. May I have another? I'm not, you know, saying anything that people haven't said before. I think he's done. And that's why Null River doesn't release NetShare, I think. I mean, if they ever want to release anything else in the App Store, and they do, that's where the money is.
And they have stuff on the App Store, too. Right
well, then
now.
That would, I guess, would be the other reason, yeah.
Hmm.
You know, I also have to wonder, is there any possibility that Apple is working with them to eventually have an officially sanctioned version of NetShare when the day comes that Apple works out the whole tethering thing with AT&T?
I don't think so. I think the tethering thing with AT&T has to do with AT&T trying to sell their laptop Connect card and selling their laptop Connect service. I mean, that's what I really think it comes down to. I can't imagine O2 does not have something similar they're trying to sell in the UK, and that SoftBank doesn't have something. Well, all of Japan is Wi-Fi, but
yeah,
you know, some other places around T-Mobile in Germany. I can't imagine that they don't have a product that they're trying to push to do that.
Well, not even that. I could possibly see them coming out with an actual, you know, plan, another $10 a month or something like that, that they do with a lot of other phones. John Braun from Mac Observer talked about his phone on the Mac Observer, where he was able to tether his phone for a long time. And at some point they said, oh, I see what you're doing. You're going to have to pay, you know, to continue doing that. They just basically shut that part off at some point. So I think that, you know, regardless of what kind of device they want you to use, whether it's a phone or a Connect card or whatever, I think they probably want more money for that kind of functionality. So, you know, if they are going to add that, I think it would cost more money.
Certainly.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's a good idea. At least I think it's good for the community, hopefully, that Alex is releasing Podcaster on Cydia now. Hopefully, you know, at some point Apple either decides to create a podcasting, you know, a podcatcher for the iPhone, or you know, I don't see them changing their mind on this. Maybe down the line they'll expand, you know, the bounds of their NDA, or the, not the NDA, but the SDK, and allow these kind of applications. But for, you know, right now, I doubt that we're ever going to see him, at least Podcaster, on the App Store.
Yeah.
After this. And, you know, they did say in his, you know, in his defense to on the, in the letter that they sent him, they said, you know, you can use the ad hoc system to distribute this to friends and family. I think maybe selling the, you know, or accepting donations, I guess it was, and then in turn giving out an ad hoc copy, that was probably overstepping that. And I haven't heard anything.
You think?
Yes.
But unless it was all his friends and family that were donating to him.
Hey, I'm a friend. But you know, I hope this says something to Apple when they see applications going to, you know, the jailbreak community. I haven't really heard of anything else besides Podcaster, you know, getting rejected and then going into the App Store. I think at some point, if Apple doesn't add their own version of a podcatching application, I think that they're going to, you know, open that up at some point, but I don't know if we're ever going to see Alex's applications on there. But Podcaster is on Cydia, and I think they're, it requires a license to get. He sent me I think he sent me 25 licenses that I can give away. So if you want a license to Podcaster on Cydia, if I'm totally like full of it, cause I haven't checked this out on Cydia at all. I don't have a jailbroken phone right now. So if it's totally free, don't worry about it. But if it does require a license, you can follow me, on Twitter at twitter.com/MichaelJohnston. Send me an at reply and say, hey, I want a license, and I'll try and get those out to you guys if you want them. So moving on, talking about applications, this got me really excited. Groundspeak, the guys who are behind geocaching.com. Do you guys geocache?
I do not.
Ken, have you?
I also do not.
Do you guys know what it is?
I do,
okay,
actually.
I'll explain it for everybody. Basically, geocaching, it's kind of treasure hunting for nerds, because it
that's right. You go and find nerds. They're stored in little boxes. Sometimes they have gems.
Nerds, the tasty candy kind. No. Basically, it's you're allowed. You go to geocaching.com. You find you type in your zip code, and it spits out a map or a list of different. They call them caches. They're just, you know, boxes either filled with like little. You know, cars, or, you know, so just little trinkets that don't really have any great value to them, just something to put in there. Basically, you search for these, it gives you the exact GPS coordinates, and you go out to this location. You're allowed to bring your laptop. So like I said, it's treasure hunting for nerds. You get to bring your computer, and you also need a GPS, or at least it works a lot better if you have a GPS. So you plug in the coordinates to that, you go find it. And when you find it, you take something out of there and you put something else in. So, you know, another, like a toy car or something. And then you check it off, and then you go find the next one. It's really fun. It may sound totally lame the way I'm describing it. I don't know. I enjoy doing it every now and then. Some of them are just, you know, sign the little piece of paper that's in there and you found it. I guess it's much more challenging than it sounds. Even though you do have the exact coordinates, you still have to kind of look around, and there's sometimes, you know, in some woods or something that you have to really hunt for them, and they're, you know, underneath a tree or something like that. Anyway, so Groundspeak is releasing an official geocaching application onto the App Store. They recently submitted it, so it hasn't been approved yet, but when it does, it'll be $10, and I'm really excited about it because you don't have to go to geocaching.com to get the list. Now you can do all that through the application. You can sign in, you can check out all the caches in your area, and then you say, okay, well, now I'm looking for this cache. It'll tell you, you know, how close you are to it. It'll give you a little compass. It's very neat. So it's exactly what I want to do on my iPhone, because I don't want to have to actually buy a GPS device to find my geocaches. So that's cool. Are you guys going to play? Are you going to try geocaching? At least once, if when the application comes out. Nobody, Jeff.
Oh, I was totally trying to guess what you were saying. You sounded like went into a space warp in my head. I was hoping there'd be enough words that I could actually answer, and you stopped talking, and I didn't even know you were talking to me.
Aww. I got to confess, the same thing was happening here. It was a little bit like a Cylon. Or do you remember the TV show The Tomorrow People, Jeff? You're old enough to remember that.
I am. That sounds so familiar.
It was like the beginning of The Tomorrow People for me.
Okay.
So we were going like a wormhole or something. I think your question, though, and correct me if I'm wrong, was does it sound cool enough now that we would try it if it was actually on our iPhone and we could just go out and do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, for $10. I mean, yeah. It sounds like fun, but I haven't bought Scrabble yet, and it's $10.
Well, that's
I've gotten
Scrabble.
Cheap since I've moved to the Northeast. that's basically what it comes down to. Used to be in San Francisco, I'd be like, yeah, $10, sure. That's like a
cup of coffee.
Right, exactly. But now, now you're $10. Oh my god,
that's like $10.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, it sounds like fun. I guess it sounds like fun, and it's exciting for. It would be neat. It's going to be neat for people who are into it to have that. I might try it in the spring.
Yeah, it's not as fun if you have to go trudging through snow or anything like
yeah.
that.
You yeah. know, the thing that I think is actually coolest about this application is that it's showing the overall diversity that you have with the iPhone, especially the iPhone 3G, since it also has a GPS. That's the big thing to me.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something great to get you outside, you know, at least for me, I'm inside most of the time, you know, writing articles or, you know, fixing things on iPhone Alley or whatever. So it's always good to say, yes, I will be okay. I'll be actively using my iPhone. I won't be disconnected from the internet. It'll be fine. And I'll be outside. It'll be all fun. So if you're totally addicted to your computer or the iPhone or whatever, and you feel the need that you need to go outside, check out geocaching. It's a lot of fun.
So what you're saying is this is more like an application that helps you with baby steps into reintegrating into society.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Well, except you're going out to a field where somebody has buried something. It's not like somebody's going to be waiting there with like a surprise party for you.
Baby steps, Ken. It's all baby steps.
All right. Just getting you back outside. Not really into society. What would be cool is if every geocache ended like in a bar.
You know what? I'd pay $20 for that app.
Exactly. Or a restaurant. Like, oh, that's an excellent idea. Maybe we just came up with something right now. If you could like have geocaching, but for the bar, and you get there and it gives you like a little phrase that you're supposed to say to the bartender.
And then he'll give you like a free beer or something. Because
he'll give
you
a shot.
Special,
yeah. You know, something like that.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Everyone get on this right now.
Okay. So what are we going to call it though?
I don't know, but the first person that makes an application that really does this, Michael, you have to give them some cool prize, okay?
I don't know. If you find me at Macworld, I'll give you a cookie.
Oh, that's totally worth it. And I'm not kidding. The cookies really are good.
So we're going to call it beer caching and...
Not beer. Okay, fine. Beer caching.
Beer caching.
No, let's call it shot caching.
Shot caching?
Shot caching sounds good to me.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there it is. We just made an application. It's that easy.
Now all we need is a business plan and a bunch of bars that'll go along with us.
What's
we
in it for the bars?
We can't lose.
This is starting to turn into You Look Nice Today. Anyway, let's talk about Flash for the iPhone. Someone at Flash on the Beach, that's the conference in Brighton, UK, someone was asked whether or not Flash would come to the iPhone. And the response was, yes, we are working on Flash for the iPhone, and it's really up to Apple at this point whether or not it's ever going to get onto the iPhone. But because it's a low-level thing, they can't just say, here, grab it from the App Store, you know, whatever. But the good news is, and I don't know that we ever heard word that Adobe wasn't working on it, because I think we heard that they were working on it, you know, right after the SDK was announced, that Adobe said that, yes, we were looking at it and we can do this. So I guess this is just a continuation of that and a confirmation that, you know, Adobe is set up to put Flash on the iPhone if Apple does give the go-ahead. Now, Jeff, I'm probably going to be directing this more toward you. because I know how much you love Safari on the iPhone. Do you think that this is good? Do you think Flash is going to work well in Safari? For me at least, Safari gets really slow and then gets very crashy. After a while of just using the thing, what do you think? Do you think Flash is a good idea?
I think if it's done correctly, it's a good idea because then it opens up a bunch of other websites that you can't access right now on the iPhone, which means that Adobe and Apple are going to have to work hand in hand to make this happen. And I don't know if they are. I know early on that when I would talk to Adobe people, they would lead me to believe that Apple wasn't giving them any support, and they just thought that would be great if they could get it. So I don't know if Apple is actively pursuing this. And if they're not, it's not going to work well, and everyone's going to be disappointed with it. And that's not what Adobe wants, and it's certainly not what Apple wants for user experience on the iPhone.
Right.
So, we'll have to see what happens. I know Adobe really, really wants this to happen. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But if they don't have Apple's help, it will suck because there are certain things that Apple is going to have to tell them or show them or give them so that they can hook in to make this efficient.
Right. Well, they're going to have to work on, after the 2.1 update, yes, it fixed many, many problems, and the iPhone is pretty tolerable now. It still
slows. But Safari still sucks.
Mobile Safari still sucks, and applications still get, kind of buggy, and then they just decide to crash because they've given up on life and, they've used up too much memory. So I think that, Apple still has a long way to go as far as improving the performance of the 2.0 software. And from what I've heard, 2.2, the focus in 2.2, at least right now, was not stability or performance. I would assume that it is more feature-based because I've heard that it's much more crashy than 2.1 is.
Sweet, I can't wait.
So,
you know what I would like to see? If I'm asking too much, just let me know. I would like when I go to use the camera on my iPhone that I don't have to sit and fracking wait and wait and wait for it to load and launch. I want to be able to tap the button like I did on my first gen iPhone and boom, it's there and ready to go. Oh, is that that hard?
That's actually been bothering me lately. Like if there is a moment where I want to capture something that's happening, something surprising, I almost don't even bother getting out my iPhone anymore.
Yeah.
Because, it used to be, like you say, it used to be I was able to, grab it and take at least get one picture before whatever fleeting moment actually went ahead and fled, yeah. I guess would be the word. But now it just takes forever to do that.
Well, when I was at the Mac Computer Expo in Santa Rosa, what was that, a week ago? I wanted to make sure I could take pictures while I was walking around talking to people and all that. So I finally just took my iPhone out of my pocket, switched it to camera, and walked around with my iPhone on in the camera mode all the time so that I could just pull it up, take my picture, and keep going.
So
how was that, by the way?
It rocked. I was really impressed. Good. I had never been before, and I wasn't exactly sure what to expect. I mean, I had an idea, but I didn't know how it was going to really play out. And I was really, really impressed. So unless something happens, scheduling, something that would really prevent me from going, I'm going to go back next year. I really liked it.
Was that any bigger than New Media Expo?
You were breaking up on my end. I heard was New Media Expo.
Was it any bigger than New Media Expo?
As far as the expo part, yes, it was.
Okay.
As far as the number of people that were there, I'm going to guess that there was 1,000, maybe a little bit more. So I don't know how that compared to New Media Expo. About the same number of people, maybe a little bit less.
Not sure.
Oh, no, I think there were considerably more than that at the New Media Expo.
Okay, it's probably because I was stuck in like two rooms all the time. Okay,
yeah, so, I mean that was the problem with. I mean, not to hash a point that we all talked about quite a bit a couple of months ago, but I think the biggest problem with the New Media Expo was there were only one or two places where everybody could be expected to be.
That's true.
Except that's true. Except for Vegas, which is kind of. I mean, it was easy for everybody to sort of get lost. I have to think there were more than 1,000 people there, though. If there weren't, wow, that's crazy.
I think there were
I'm sure you're right that there was more people there.
Okay. So anyway, I'm glad to hear it went well. That was the whole, sorry.
It did. I really liked it. It was cool.
Good.
So what were we talking about? We were talking about Flash, right?
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm just, I honestly did forget.
Who was it that was bragging on their phone? I don't think it was Android. I think it was Nokia with the N9, whatever their new thing is, the Tube. They're talking about the fact that their mobile browser is going to support Flash.
Now, what is this phone called? It's called the Tube?
The Tube. Yes. T-U-B-E. The Tube.
Does it resemble a tube?
I haven't seen it. Okay. I don't know.
I hope
honestly. But if this becomes a thing where everybody else has Flash, then obviously Apple needs to go ahead and help out Adobe getting Flash on there.
Right.
And, a combination of things. If everybody else's phone has it and everybody else's phone also starts taking off with anything like the kind of momentum the iPhone took off with. I mean, everybody else's MP3 player has FM. And Apple's not interested in putting that on the iPod. And they don't have to because it's the runaway winner.
Yeah.
We're early enough, I think, in the smartphone game. Will the iPhone always be the sexiest? Sure. But they don't necessarily, I mean, they don't have the whole thing locked up. They've got a really good head start right now because they brought the first really simple to use smartphone and the sexiest smartphone to market. But you've got the G1 coming out pretty soon. You've got the Instinct already out there, which is not, you know, it's not a barn burner, but, you know, it's out there and it's doing okay.
I've seen a few people with it, so.
You've got the Tube coming out pretty soon as well. And if I'm remembering correctly, that covers all four of your major players. So now, unlike a year and a half ago when the iPhone came out, you don't have everybody rushing to AT&T as soon as it's over, because the second you, you know, go back to your whatever, your T-Mobile store, your whoever's going to sell the Nokia phone, go back into your Sprint store, there are sexy devices there now. Not as sexy as the iPhone, but you don't even have that whole thing of being able to compare the two. It's not like you can do when you walk into a Sprint store where you can hold up the Instinct next to the Palm, whatever, Trio, or the BlackBerry Curve. Or, you know, I mean, you don't have a bunch of different, I mean, you're not going to see the iPhone except on TV or if you happen to walk into your AT&T store. The switching thing is getting a little more difficult. All of which is to say, if other smartphones do start catching up and they all support Flash, then it has, I mean, it just has to happen, doesn't it?
I think so. And honestly, it is very frustrating when I go to a website that, yeah, of course, I'm totally bugged by websites that are totally operated by on Flash alone. Mm-hmm. That is a huge pet peeve of mine. But they exist, and some sites I do need to get to. And so that's an annoyance when that situation does arise. So Flash would be great on the phone. I'm just concerned about performance because Flash has always sucked. Even on my computer, my Core 2 Duo, you know, MacBook Pro, my CPUs just, you know, go crazy when I'm watching, you know, something on Hulu or, you know, at a Flash website. So they're going to, and, you know, I realize that Adobe has had experience with creating mobile versions of Flash. I'm just concerned with, you know, right now with Mobile Safari being the way it is, that it's probably not a good idea right now. And I'm hoping that we will have a setting to turn off Flash in websites. And I think that exists in Safari right now, right? You can turn off Flash? No, you can't.
I don't know.
No, it doesn't look like
it. Okay, I've got to jump in the middle of the whole Flash thing with both feet. And keep in mind, my background is graphic design. So here we go. One of the biggest problems with Flash is not the performance that we see on the computer, although that's the end result. One of the biggest problems is that so many designers out there that are creating web content do not know how to use Flash. And what they're doing is creating websites where they're completely using Flash in the wrong way, and they don't get what parts of the website should be pushed out to the user and run from the user's computer, what parts of the site should be maintained and just run from the back end on the server, and they don't get how to put these parts together. And so what they end up doing is taking everything and pushing it out. And so you end up with all this content that should be maintained on your server. It's getting pushed out to you. You're having to do all this big bandwidth rendering and all these other things that go along with it. And what do you see? crap performance. So if people would start learning to use Flash more appropriately with your web designs, we would see a dramatic improvement on Flash-based websites overall.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting that within a couple days, I'm going to start having flame email from people going, you don't know anything about Flash and whatever. It's okay. I know what I'm talking about, and you're welcome to email me.
Well, okay, so maybe that is the case, and maybe, you know, people need to use Flash better with, you know, what they're doing. They're not going to change that for the iPhone, obviously, and there's still going to be the crap websites out there that just, you know, eat up processor like crazy. And, you know, the iPhone only has the, you know, what is it, 400 megahertz? It's clocked down to 400 something, I think. And it's, you know, pretty crashy now. I'm just... you know, hopefully they'll figure it out. I don't think they're going to add it in there if it just kind of makes everything crawl like crazy. And I hope that for the most part, whenever you do go to a YouTube video, it'll still use the YouTube player, the native YouTube player on the phone.
Right.
So that'll be covered for the most part. You know, for, you know, 90% of teenagers with an iPhone or, you know, using their daddy's iPhone, it won't be a big deal because, you know, while they're at YouTube. So there you go. Let's see, what should we talk about next? There wasn't a whole lot of news this week, was there?
There was a whole lot of financial news.
Yeah. Really? What about? No, don't tell us.
No, don't worry.
We don't want to get
into
that.
By the end of the week, I was sick of it. There, if anybody's listening from my show, I feel your pain, okay?
All right,
I had to talk about it. I mean, when the Wall Street Journal... I said I wasn't going to talk about the financial stuff, but really quickly, when the Wall Street Journal says, hey, the Dow Jones Industrial Average had their worst one-day drop ever, but you know who really got hit was Apple? Okay, when the Wall Street Journal says that, you kind of have to talk about it for a minute, don't you?
I totally agree. Apple News podcast.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's
we don't have to talk about it right now, though. It's okay. I'm fine with that.
All right, so let's move on to something really cool, and it does have to do with Joe...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. That's cool.
So it does have to do with jailbreaking your phone. But background processes, there's a new application or a kind of an extension that you can install if you have a jailbroken phone. It's called iPhone Backgrounder, and it's available in Cydia. It allows you to take any application and have it run in the background. So what you do is you install this cool thing, and the iPhone Backgrounder, and then you go to whatever application you want to keep open, for example, Pandora, and you start whatever up, your music or whatever, and then you hold down your home button so you don't let go of it immediately, so you go to the home screen. Instead, you're holding down on the button as if you're, you know, planning to have it force quit the application. But before it force quits, a little window will pop up, and it'll say backgrounding enabled, and you know you can continue holding that down, and it'll force quit. But you know, once that happens, you can then go to your home screen. I haven't used it, but you know, if you're using Pandora and you were listening to music, the music will still continue playing. Or if you're using AOL Instant Messenger, you'll still get messages coming in through there, and I believe you'll get alert messages, which is cool. So that is there. I assume that makes your, I don't know, I haven't used it, but I'm assuming it, you know, lessens the stability of your phone, by a little bit at least. Jeff, do you think this is, an important thing? Do you think background applications or background processes are still needed on the iPhone? Or do you think that the fabled, push notifications are going to handle that?
You know, I have to wait and see the push notifications before I make a final decision on how important the background apps things are. But my big concern with the background app thing is, what does this do to overall performance? Excuse me, I have a hairball tonight and I just can't get rid of it. What does it do to performance, and what does it do to battery life? And I know those are two things Apple has been concerned about. Which is why they're looking at their whole way of doing the process thing instead of just letting applications have control over background processing. But I think it's a great proof of concept, so I want to see how it works.
I was actually wondering about that too. As far as battery life and performance, I mean, it's the kind of thing that if you're in the jailbreak community, it's kind of neat to be able to hold it up and say, "Hey, look what I can do." Yeah. And that's really cool. And, you know, you might even ask that person, well, how is your battery life? And I would be curious to find out from somebody who's using it. But if they said their battery life sucks because of using this, it's still cool because theirs can do something that ours can't. At the same time, if it was something that Apple introduced and it sapped your battery life, I mean, the chance of crucify him would be huge.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Have your battery lives been better recently with the 2.1? Because mine has still kind of sucked.
Really?
Yeah.
No, mine's been great.
Has it been greatly improved, or at least significantly improved?
It's been greatly improved. When we were on the whose panel was it? When we were on the iProng panel at the New Media Expo, one of the first things out of my mouth was that people should wait if they hadn't already bought a 3G iPhone, but they were thinking of upgrading, that they should wait until the software update. And everything that I was annoyed by with my iPhone 3G has been removed. I have not had the buggy application issue anymore. I have not had the power with the problem with battery life anymore.
Okay.
I get 3G connectivity. My phone is always on 3G now, and it goes all day long. In fact, I can usually go 24 hours before I have to, unless I'm using it pretty intently.
Yeah, I think
if it's just a normal day of use, I can go about 24 hours before I have to recharge it.
You know, I think that a lot,
be on 3G the whole time. Sorry.
Yeah. A lot of the problem with my battery life, I think it still comes from having very poor reception in my house. And I think that, you know, before the update, I had maybe one to two bars in my house. And now with the update, I have four to five bars sometimes, which was outstanding. And it actually works now for the most part in my house. But I mean, they did something to get the extra bars out of the phone. And these seem to be true, you know, actual bars and not just, you know, there and saying, look, they're there, but it doesn't work. So I'm assuming that it's, you know, cranking the radio or using more power in whatever way that it needs to get better signal strength. So I'm assuming that that's why my battery life is decreased still. You know, when I'm in, you know, outside or in a location where my signal's better, my battery life seems to be much better. But back to the backgrounding thing, you know, having the push notifications would really solve the problem with the AOL Instant Messenger, for example, and I thought that was really cool. But also, the Pandora thing and other audio streaming apps like Last.fm, I would really, really like to see that the music stream in the background. And I wonder if there's a way that Apple could do that, allow that nicely to happen in the background, maybe adding some extra APIs where it says, you know, keep this URL open, playing this audio, you know, with, you know, whatever. I'm not a developer. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm assuming that they could just, you know, add that access in there just like they do with the, you know, the media player daemon that's already on the phone, you know, add that in there. For audio applications, because it'd be great to start listening to Pandora and then say, hey, I want to, you know, go surf over to Safari and check something out, and, you know, that kind of thing. So,
well, you know about the Flycast application, right?
I don't.
Is that what it's called? And that can be my pick for the week if you want to, because it was between, you know, that and the Constitution. I'll walk away from the microphone in a second and double check it. But there's one, I think it's Flycast, that is an audio thing. It's got access to thousands, I believe, of internet radio stations. So it's not as cool as Pandora. I mean, I can't say, you know, Ben Folds or Morrissey or Henry Rollins and have it make up that kind of music for me. But it's the same, you know, kind of thing where you can go online and you can find some streams of terrestrial radio stations. You can find some stations that are set up specifically for a certain type of music. And what it does is it automatically launches in Safari. So that, well, I mean, with one setting, it sort of caches a bit so that you can start listening right away. But with another setting, it just launches in Safari. So it's almost like a web app, kind of like that Lotus Notes thing that came out earlier this week, except different. It's not exactly what you want it to be. I understand what you're saying. It doesn't run in the background as a native application, but it does sort of trick you into thinking that it is. So once it launches it in Safari, go do something else. Go check your mail. Go play, you know, a game that you want to play while you're listening to it. Go do any, you know, do any of the other stuff that you want to do, because it actually will run it in the mobile Safari in the background.
So wait, you can actually exit mobile Safari and have it'll still continue playing?
Well, define exit mobile Safari. I mean, if you do the hard, you know, restart thing.
Well, I mean,
but you can actually surf around. See, now I want to double check it. I remember that's the reason I downloaded it, because it said you could do that. And I want to say I've tried it and it does, but honestly, I've only done it once or twice. I believe you can actually leave that mobile Safari page and have it still going. And if you want to give me a minute and a half, I'll actually check it out and come back and tell you.
Okay. Yeah, you can do that.
All right, fine. I'll be right back then.
All right. Do we know if the iPhone 3G has LED backlight in there, or is it still fluorescent? Because I'm thinking, I was looking at, you know, the iPhone 3G tech specs or something like that, and it said that it was mercury free, and I think that was the big deal with the fluorescent, right?
Well, yeah, because the fluorescents have mercury.
Yeah, so would that mean that it doesn't? It's LED then?
Possibly. I suppose it could be some other light technology that is mercury free.
Hmm.
I don't know though.
You'd think that they would mention it, because LED is like, ooh, LED.
All right, I'm having trouble, so we can just stop. And thanks for the Jeopardy music, by the way. I appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
I'll keep trying it while we're talking, but I figured you guys would go ahead and jump to another topic.
Oh, we didn't want to leave you out.
And my hope was that it would be one of the ones I don't know much about.
Oh, well,
then I could just be like, oh, I'm back. Oh, did I miss that discussion?
Oh, darn. Too bad. No, which one did you not want to talk about? We'll do that one now.
I'm kidding. I have no idea. AT&T to hold off on 4G technology for 2 to 3 years. Eh, okay.
Yeah, I was kind of...
If you guys know more about that than I do, please go right ahead.
I was going to skip that, but to, you know... Since you brought it up, I'm going to say 3G kind of sucks from AT&T right now. I can't imagine that they would jump to 4G and say, hey, look, we, you know, added plus one to the G and
one
now
to
it's
the
better.
G. AT&T is going to become the gangster rap of handset providers.
Just so you know, I was doing weird hand symbols for all that, too.
Mm. Nicely done, yeah. I felt those.
Thank you. Oh yeah, well, it really adds to the whole feeling.
Doesn't it, Jess, though?
It totally does.
So they're putting that off, is what you're saying. I remember in 2000 when we started talking about 3G and how that was going to revolutionize everything, and here it is, yeah. 2008, and they're all finally kind of doing it.
Well,
and I'm not saying that it was ready to go that day. I'm just saying, yeah, for AT&T to say they're not going to do it for 2 to 3 years. Wow. Okay, I can't believe it's that soon.
Right. Well, here's what I want to say about 3G, at least from AT&T. I have already said that it kind of sucks, but I did try with NetShare to stream from Ustream. And when I did actually get it working, when it actually connected and did its thing, it was very, very slow. And it didn't work very well. And I had a pretty good connection with my 3G. You know, I'm wondering, I guess it's obvious, the speeds are probably out there that, you know, the Sprint, EVDO cards are probably faster than, you know, an iPhone 3G's connection, or am I wrong?
I think a lot of it depends on where you are.
Yeah. And, you
know, for example, now that I have the patches on my iPhone that improve the radio reception.
Are you put those goofy voodoo things on there?
Well, you know, just the goofy voodoo things from Apple. They're official. The, you know, the 2.1 update.
Oh, I thought
that.
You meant you put the thing that they used to sell on TV that looked like a little piece of circuitry that you'd stick on the back.
Yeah. No, I didn't. But now that you mention it, that would probably just totally add that touch of bling my iPhone beats.
I know people who put like little... sticky rubber things on the back of their iPhone so it doesn't slide across their dash. And I just cry when I see that.
Well, I have a great idea. Don't put it on your dash.
You know, Velcro.
I'm just saying.
Velcro is fashionable, right?
Yeah. Don't you have a spare cup holder that you don't have a big gulp in? Put your iPhone in that.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the iTunes closing down scare. I guess here, let me bring up that story. That was pretty interesting, so I didn't want to leave that alone. Basically, the National Music Publishers Association was proposing that they would raise the per track cost royalty fee from 9 cents to 15 cents, and that I guess that meant because of something that who said that back in 2007? Someone said
Eddie Q
yeah, said in 2007 that iTunes wouldn't be willing to do that because either they would have to absorb that cost or they'd have to pass it on to the user, which they wouldn't do. They wanted to keep the 99 cents, 99 cent tracks where they are. So everybody was thinking, all right, they're going to close down the iTunes Music Store if this goes through. Thankfully, now has there been any official word from Apple on that whole thing, or was it all just like them sitting back and watching, you know, the goofy discussion go on? Did they actually?
Well, it was Eddie Q saying that a year ago. I mean, was the only thing that came from Apple on it.
Well, that wasn't in response directly to this, was it?
Yes, no, it's not.
Wasn't it? He was submitting to the Copyright Royalty Board. And I mean, isn't this the same? This is the same thing, right? That started Pandora saying that the sky was falling back in April of 2007, wasn't it?
When it
came out that the publishers wanted to raise the rates, Pandora and a number of other internet radio stations said, "Oh, this is going to be terrible, and it's going to destroy us if it's allowed to happen." And then Q wrote to the Copyright Royalty Board. And said, if this happens, it would be bad. But I don't think anybody's reacted since.
Right. And actually, that's what I meant, that we didn't have a new reaction from anyone.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So this is regarding the same thing. This has all been in there for a long time.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. Well, so long story short, they decided not to do this. And so it's all happy. But I thought it was really interesting that I guess it was the BBC that picked this up and said that, you know, iTunes may close when this is finalized, which I doubt would actually happen.
Right. I mean,
it's kind of out of the question there.
Can you imagine, though, if they'd actually pushed that new rate through and Apple was on the spot where they had to put up or shut up.
Yeah, come on, Apple, let's go. What are you going to do?
Well, it was a year and a half ago that Q wrote his memo.
Yeah.
In a year and a half, you can say that any number of things have changed, that they found ways to make it work profitably, or now we're selling so many iPods, you know. I mean, that's the real thing right there. We're selling so many iPods. There's no way we're not going to make up the difference in the extra 5 cents or 6 cents. I think it was 6 cents that they were looking to raise it. They were looking to go from 9 cents a track, which is what they're currently paying now, or 9.1 to 15 cents a track. What I didn't hear, the one thing that the CRB did say, we'll go ahead and raise that. They raised ringtones up, I think, to 24 cents or 26 cents a track.
It's crazy what they raised it to. I mean, it was a substantial hit.
Well, what was it? Do you know? Because that's the one thing that I missed. Was it 9?
I thought it was 9. And okay. So, of course, if anyone's listening and they know what it really is, if we have it wrong, let us know. but I thought it was 9 cents also. And then all of a sudden it's 24 cents on a 99 cent thing. And I'm thinking, crap, dude.
Well, wait. Whoa. Hold on. Are we talking about the Apple ringtones? Or are we talking about... Because I wasn't even thinking of the 99 cents on that. I was thinking about when I had my Sidekick, I bought one ringtone the whole time I had it. And I want to say it was between $2.99 and $4.99, which is why I only bought one. I mean, most ringtones cost well over 99 cents.
Yeah, that sounds
That's true. That's very true. I forgot about that. I'm just so used to this whole iTunes thing now that I forget that there's other people out there with their stone and Erskine Systems. Yo.
Hey, my router crashed.
Ah, well, I could see where that might slow you down just a little bit.
Yeah. You know, what sucks is that it happened right in the middle of your joke.
Okay.
I've totally got my groove on now. Thanks.
That is Flycast playing a song.
All right.
And I'm on Twitterific.
How did you do that? So explain the whole process.
Okay. Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Are we on? Are we live?
Yeah.
Hello. Okay, so here's the thing. It's one of the features of the Flycast app. If you go into Flycast, God, I wish I could actually turn this music off. I just grabbed the first station I could find. If you go into the Flycast app and you go into settings, there is one of the settings that they have is instant play. If you turn instant play off, then what it'll do is it'll actually launch through Safari. Quick play. I'm sorry, not instant play. If you turn quick play on, what it does is it actually... God, I wish I could figure out how to turn it off entirely. Sorry.
You throw your phone
if you leave against... If you leave quick play on, what it does is it downloads basically like a packet of music so that if you end up losing a connection or something like that, you've still got music going for a little while. So that's kind of a cool thing about it. But if you turn quick play off, what it does then is it goes and it launches in Safari so that you can... Once it's actually running and going, you can go and do other things, which is what I did. And that's why you came back with music. I was actually checking my Twitters or my tweet.
So what happens, you're in Safari and it's playing. Don't you have to hit done or hit the home button?
I hit the home button and it went back to the front screen.
And it kept playing in Safari. Can you still surf around?
Okay, that's really cool.
That is very cool.
Okay, now you're making me want to try it again, but I really don't, in case it was just glitchy. But when you called back, I was listening to something through Flycast, and I was checking Twitter.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad that that works.
Not exactly the background thing that you're talking about, but I do sort of like the idea. Here's you know, the question then, are we going to make the phone less stable, or are we going to have developers sort of find ways to sort of go around it? Do you know what I mean?
You know, I don't know, but I really like that, you know, this developer did find a way around that whole problem. That's very, very cool.
To give it a similar functionality anyway, sure.
Yeah,
That's why I downloaded it. I've been a huge fan of AOL Radio since the App Store opened up. And this is the first one actually that I've tried to use since AOL Radio and Pandora. And again, I haven't surfed through all of the stations because there are way too many, but I do like the fact that, I mean, I'll sometimes be listening to AOL Radio and want to check Twitter and forget that if I go to do that, I'm done listening to my music. So that's actually why I grabbed this one.
Yeah, that's what happened with Pandora. I was listening, I turned on my radio, my Pandora radio, and I hadn't listened to it in a long time. And the very first track I listened to, it was a band that I'd never heard of, and it was really great. And I was like, oh, I have to get this, and I was grooving with it. And then so, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to go check out my Twitter while I'm listening to the... And then it was gone, and then I never found it again. So, yeah, that's good. I don't know if they're going to be adding any more, background processes anytime soon, at least. I would like to see... I think that they could do something. As far as, like I said, I'm not a developer, but I think that they could, you know, allow developers to say, you know, here, you know, hand this off to some daemon and, you know, have it, continue, you know, working on that. Say, here is a stream URL, keep going with that and just play it like you normally would, which would be very cool if they could do that. We were talking about, the crazy iTunes shutdown thing. This podcast. Anyway, they decided not to do it, so that is the end of that. And so I guess we're going to move on from there.
Sounds good. It was so, I mean, the thing is, there was somebody that I was reading really just, I can't remember if it was Forbes or Fortune or something along those lines, but they basically said, is this a real threat? Or because Q wrote his missive to the CRB back in the early part of 2007. And then the week that this is coming out, suddenly that resurfaces. So, I mean, getting back to your question from a while ago, no, this was not any kind of new response. How is it that all of a sudden we're hearing about it again? And so a lot of people say it was much, you know, bluff and bluster and just Apple sort of reminding everyone, you really don't want this to happen because we have said only one time in the past, but we have said one time in the past that the place that is responsible for the most music sold in the U.S. would not be most pleased if this rate went up. The chance of them shutting it down was next to nil anyway, I think.
Well, I wanted to ask this question. I know, Ken, I assume you heard about the Walmart music store shutting down, right? You heard about that?
Shutting down or turning off their DRM?
Well, they didn't turn off their DRM. They closed down, right? So now they can't, the people who bought songs can't.
I have to go back and check. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Jeff?
Well, they had said that they were turning off their DRM servers, I thought, so they wouldn't be able to help people with music after the 31st. I thought it was actually for whatever they were selling. I thought they were just selling MP3. I thought they were selling DRM-free tracks at this point. Am I mistaken?
Okay, I think what happened was that Walmart said that they're no longer going to support any of their DRM stuff, which essentially locks people out of the music they've already bought. I think that's what they were doing.
Okay, so they're not closing their store. They're just, I mean, what are they doing? Are they going to be selling DRM-free tracks?
So I think that they're going to have DRM-free tracks. So
yeah, I'm on their website right now, and it's got all kinds of download MP3s stuff.
Okay, so they're going to have DRM-free music. But the music that they have that people have purchased with DRM, it's stuck on their computer, and they can't do anything else with it ever again.
Okay.
So if they wanted to put it on their does anyone even make other media players anymore? So if they wanted to put it on their not iPod, I don't think they'll be able to anymore. The music is just stuck on their computer.
Okay, so I'm on Boing Boing now, and I really like the title that they use. It says, Walmart shutting down DRM server, nuking your music collection. Only people who pay for music risk losing it to DRM shenanigans.
That's a long headline.
It is a long headline, but it
makes the point.
It's very, very well said. The DRM only hurts people who play by the rules.
See, this is one that's hard for me to care about, though, because they still only support Windows.
Yeah, that's true.
They still only support.
Well, anyway, I was going somewhere with bringing up Walmart, which was if iTunes were to shut down their whole thing, I guess you wouldn't be able to authorize your computer either to play, your DRM'd music. So, I don't know.
That would be bad.
That would be bad. That'd be very bad.
Anyway, it was fiction.
Fiction. Yep. Okay.
It was fiction that they were going to be closing it down. I mean, he made his point a long time ago, and I shouldn't say it was fiction, but by the time we got to this point, it was fiction.
Yeah.
When he first said it, maybe they were actually thinking about it. I mean, when he first said it, we were like a month, 2 months on the heels of Steve Jobs' thoughts on music. We had Europe climbing all over iTunes about whether or not they were fair or unfair. Yeah. I mean, it was only a year and a half ago. It was very different for iTunes than it is now. It was still the biggest music player. I mean, as far as digital downloads, but I don't think it was the number one seller of music in the States in the early part of 2007.
Right.
Enough stuff has shifted at this point. iPods are low priced enough. More and more people are buying iPhones, and the iPhone in particular. Obviously, it didn't exist at the time. They've got their mobile service for that. There was too much at play. It wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't going anywhere. The question was, were we going to have to pay more for it, or was Apple going to absorb that cost?
Right.
It wasn't going to close though, despite what he wrote a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was a nice bit of posturing, and it made a big point.
Yeah, it made a lot of headlines, too. I mean, there was a good readership for this week for a lot of people. It was amazing how many different things it turned up in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was the heart attack, so.
Yeah.
What, Eddie Q had a heart attack?
I know. Oh, did you hear? It's terrible. I hear Steve Jobs might have to step in for him.
Oh, my God. Sell your stock now.
There's the line of succession right there. If Eddie Q dies, Steve Jobs takes over. What's his name? Jonathan Ive dies, Steve Jobs takes over. There's a line of succession.
It's mess.
Well, if he dies, then Steve Jobs takes over. Otherwise, I have no idea.
Steve Jobs takes over for demoing products. That's mean. Phil Schiller's awesome. He does a lot more than demos products.
I tell, you know who I think is the guy to watch? over the next few years, Scott Forstall.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
I think
he's
the guy to watch over the next few years, and I could easily see, and I'm just guessing, I'm just making stuff up, but the more they're going more towards mobility, there's going to be a bigger and bigger place for him as things go. Does he end up being CEO of the company once Jobs decides he's had enough, or if any of his illnesses ever turn into real illnesses, since the one real illness he's had? He's interesting to watch.
Well, if he's going to take over as CEO, he's going to have to get a better shirt.
But he only needs one good shirt.
He only needs one good one.
Because he can wear that one every time he comes out to talk to people.
I can just imagine Steve Jobs' closet is just a big rack just filled with the mock turtleneck shirts and jeans, and that's all he has in there.
Was it the Nano? There was one time that I saw him. Or maybe it was, I can't remember when it was exactly, but he was actually wearing cargo pants. And it was for one of the iPod introductions. I can't remember if it was the video or what it was, but there was one day where I noticed he was actually wearing something different. And from one of the pockets that he doesn't normally have on him, he pulled out whatever it was. I want to say it was the one in October of 2005 down in San Jose.
Well, I know that the one with the Nano, he pulled the Nano out of his jeans. They were definitely
right.
Jeans.
But right.
It was like the watch pocket thing or something.
Yeah. He said then
people put it in their watch pocket and it broke and they got all mad at him.
Yeah. He basically said, "Have you ever wondered what this is for?" And then he just pulled it out of there. So,
and everyone else thought it was for a dime bag. And then he pulls a Nano out.
Well, let's see. They call it a watch pocket. What could that be for? It must be a Nano. Yeah.
Clearly.
Or a dime bag.
Or a dime bag.
Okay. This week in Steve Jobs' pants.
Oh, God.
That's what this has turned into. All right.
I don't like this podcast anymore.
All right.
I want to go home.
You want to go home. How about we go to our iPhone picks before we go home?
Well, we spent like 20 minutes on mine. I'm going Flycast.
Okay, Flycast. And that's free.
That is free.
And I'm going to check it out as soon as we're done here. I'm not going to risk it by downloading it now. So, Jeff, what is your pick?
Mine's a game.
All right.
I'm going total game tonight. Blocked. It's this game where you have a bunch of gray bars, and they have a single blue bar blocked in. And so you have to move all the gray bars around and out of the way so that you can slide the blue bar out of the little playing area. It's a simple game, easy to learn, and is very easy to get addicted to, and it's only 99 cents.
It's only 99 cents. That's not even a cup of coffee.
So, right, and since I don't drink coffee, well, that's more games for me. I drink isoy chai. It costs more than coffee. Never mind. But still, it's only 99 cents.
Yeah, 99 cents blocked. It looks cool. I haven't tried it out, but you know, if Jeff recommends it, then you know, there you go. It's got to be good.
Well, yeah.
Obviously. Anyway.
Of course. Clearly.
All right. Yeah, it's blocked, spelled like you know, without, you know, not, they didn't do anything funky with the spelling. They didn't drop the D or anything crazy like the Web 2.0 stuff. It's just B-L-O-C-K-E-D. So blocked.
Yeah. It's like
cents.
A real word.
Real word blocked. All right. My pick is files, and I have been doing a bunch of different reviews of applications that let you store stuff on your iPhone recently. I took a look at File Magnet, I think it was, and then Air Sharing, of course, was free for a little while when it was first put up on the App Store. But Files, I'm going to pick Files because I think it is the coolest one out of them all for the following reasons. Obviously, it lets you put files on your iPhone, just anything that you want. Just use it as like a flash drive, but you have to actually access it over Wi-Fi, which is okay. You know, once you get past the fact that you have to have your iPhone on Wi-Fi, and then your computer also has to be on Wi-Fi. But the cool thing is, unlike some other applications, like File Magnet, which you actually have to have another application on your computer to make it work, you don't need any applications. You just need to be on the same network. So, on your Mac, for example, you go to the Go menu and you say you want to connect to server, and then all you do, and files will tell you, you know, what IP address it is. So don't be, you know, afraid when I say IP address. It's very simple. It just says, you know, connect, you know, just type this exact thing in, you know, onto your Mac. So you type that in, and then you get a mounted volume, just like you would if you, you know, looked at another, you know, drive on another computer on your local network. It's right on your desktop. And then you can simply just drag anything that you want to your iPhone, and it shows up right there. So you can back stuff up onto it. And so if you want to, you know, bring a whole bunch of stuff to a friend's house or something like that, or if you simply just want to do something useful, like put, you know, a bunch of lolcats on your computer real quick, you can do that. More interestingly, obviously you have to sync your iPhone to get any sort of music or podcast, anything like that on there. But let's say you're at a conference or something, and don't have access to your main computer that syncs all of your music. Well, you can download a podcast that you need to listen to, throw it on there, and then you can listen to it right there. So it'll actually read most file types that the iPhone can natively read already. So it'll read nearly any image type, so JPEGs, you know, that kind of stuff. It'll also read PDFs. It'll read RTFs, so rich text files, which for some reason the iPhone won't read those in email still, which is really dorky.
Lame.
Yeah, because I use, you know, RTFs all the time. But, you know, you can drag an RTF on there. It'll read that perfectly, and so you can check that out there. And you can also, I didn't realize this until I was going through the list of what you can do, but you can also, if you've ever seen this in Safari, you can do file, you know, save as, and if you want to save it as a source, you can, but you can also save it as something called a web archive. So it's just a big archive of the page that you're on right now. You can actually drag that over to your iPhone and then check that out, you know, whenever you want to, using files. And I think you can do that with most, at least probably all of the you know, file applications. But okay, so what makes this different from other ones is it has, first of all, it has some extra security on there. So if you don't want just anybody checking out your iPhone and putting stuff on there and taking it off and all that, you can actually set up a user. So you give it a username and a password, and then you have to actually give it that information every time you want to check that out on a remote computer. You can also, if you have that set up, you can have a public folder. So you can have the public, you know, who doesn't have to log in, toss stuff on there, and they won't have access to your private stuff, which is very cool. Another thing that this adds that AirSharing does not have is you can actually have local protection on files. So if you have some sensitive stuff in files that you don't want people getting at, you can actually put a password on there. So every time you launch files, you can you have to enter in a password. So that's very cool. And it also has the ability to search through, at least it's not an actual like a spotlight search. So you just simply, it'll only filter through the file names. But, you know, you can just type in whatever you want, and it'll just, if you have a lot of files, it'll find that immediately. Then you can play it. So you can do, you know, audio, video, images, text. You know, with the video, it's pretty limited to, you know, what the iPhone will play. But it's really cool, and I'm pretty sure this is my favorite of all the file applications so far. So Files is my pick, and I believe it's $6.99 in the App Store.
I just looked it up. It is. That's very cool.
Yeah. Have you tried out any file applications, Jeff?
I haven't, and not because I don't want to. Just because I've been so busy with other projects, I thought, yeah, I'll lose a whole day just moving files around, playing and having a good time, and I don't have a whole day to lose right now.
Yeah, it's really handy. I mean, you know, the ultimate cool thing would be that you can just plug in your iPhone and use disk mode, but of course Apple's not going to allow that. So the next best thing is, you know, having a remote file server. It's actually WebDAV, if you know what that is.
Cool.
So yeah. I mean, not to imply that you don't, Jeff. I'm just saying for the listeners, because I know you know what WebDAV is.
Yes, imply that they don't.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to get...
Belittle your listeners, Michael. Good job.
I'm going to get the emails now. Okay. All right, so Files, $6.99. It rocks. I'll be putting up a review soon on iPhone Alley. So
I have one other app I'd like to give honorable mention to really quickly.
Okay, go.
Obama 08.
Okay.
And not, I don't want to get into the whole politics thing of it, but Mike Lee who got unceremoniously bounced from Tapulous, and Raven Zachary, who was one of the founders, co-founder, if not the founder of the iPhone Dev Camp, were actually two of the guys behind Obama 08.
Ooh, cool.
And so shout out to them. I mean, and, you know, whether they're listening or not, I don't know. But both of those guys have impressed me quite a bit, not only in the work that they've done, but they've also been very nice. They've actually been guests on macOS Ken Day 6 before. I find them both fascinating to talk to. And then to find out that this thing that's actually been getting international attention, this one app, got international news play, came from those two guys who I think do some really neat stuff. Hats off to them.
I have not checked that one out. What does it do?
It does a few different things. And honestly, I'm not, it does. I mean, first of all, it's got Obama's, you know, it's news from the Obama camp, it says, which basically means, you know, talking points as far as I'm concerned. It's not actually going to be news about him. That's the one thing that's kind of a drag. But if you want to keep up with what Obama's doing and what he's saying, there is that for you. One of the cool things that it does have, because part of it is trying to get, you know, a bit of community involvement and get people behind, you know, getting people out for Obama. So there is a thing on there that says call friends. And when you click on call friends, what it does is it actually goes into your address book, does not take any information is what they say, but based on the area codes, it divides them up by different swing states. So I have a friend in Colorado. Do I want to call my friend? I have a friend in Nevada. Do I want to call my friend? I have, you know, a couple of friends in Florida. It goes like that.
Gotcha.
It will keep track of some information as far as just how many people you have called. They swear up and down, not who you've called. They're not collecting any personal information. It basically just, you know, catalogs it like, hey, look, this person has called this many people and this person has called this many people, like comparing your stats to someone else's, which is a fairly innovative thing in it. But at the same time, it's a neat thing for what they're trying to do. I don't really like the idea, you know, much past that. And the rest of it's just stuff about his campaign, you know, events where he's going to be in your particular area, media coverage, things like that. So, but it wasn't, it was really not so much about the app as much as it was about those guys, was why I wanted to bring it up, because I think both Raven and Mike are hip developers, and especially Mike, because things got, you know, squirrely with Tapulous. So I was just glad for him and glad to see, you know, it wasn't one of those things where somebody just shook their fist and said, oh, I'll be back. It's more like somebody shook their fist, said, oh, I'll be back. And then 3 weeks later, they really are. So yeah. Good for him.
Are there any John McCain applications?
There are actually a number. I went and looked. There are a number of political applications, but any that were actually put out, sanctioned by and put out by the campaign as of Thursday night, no. That's the last time I checked. There are a number of Republican applications or Republican, you know, geared applications. There are a number of Democrat geared applications. There are a few that are just about the election that are nonpartisan, theoretically. I haven't looked into them enough to know whether they are or not, but Obama's campaign was the first one to put out an app.
Yeah,
now, I would imagine at some point McCain's campaign will, if they haven't already.
Mm, yeah. Jeff, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to add in that, you know, without jumping into political discussions or anything like that, mm-hmm. When I see this Obama application, this to me is another example of people using the whole platform. still have that hairball, using the whole platform to empower themselves. And so it's, you know, it ultimately it doesn't matter if it's an Obama, if it's a McCain, if it's Democrat, Republican, whatever the application is. It's just really nice to see that people have been able to figure out how to use this whole iPhone and iPod Touch platform for just, you know, empowering themselves. I think it's great.
Yeah. It's very cool. All right. If we are done with that, I think it's time to wrap up the show. Bandwidth for the iPhone LA podcast is provided by CashFly at CashFly.com. And don't forget to check out the website, iPhoneAlley.com. It's the place to get more news, iPhone tips and reviews. And if you have a tip that you'd like to share with us or an application or product that you want us to review, you can let us know by clicking the contact link on the left side of the page, and we will either get that tip posted if it's really awesome, or you know, try and review that application that you want us to review. So go ahead and do that. Feel free. You can also find show notes at iPhoneLA.com/podcast, and you can email us regarding the show at podcast@iPhoneLA.com. And once again, Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer and the iPod Observer, thank you so much for being here, Jeff.
Sure, and thanks for having me on. It's always fun.
It was great. And Ken Ray from macOSKen.com, thank you.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Yes, so check out, you know, obviously the macOS Ken podcast, and, you know, check out maybe macOS Ken Day 6 as well.
Please do.
It's awesome.
Yes, do.
And Jeff Gamet, I keep forgetting your Twitter because I didn't write it down. It's J Gamet, right?
That's it. J G A M E T.
Yep. And Ken, your Twitter is macOS Ken, right?
It is indeed.
There you go. And my Twitter is Michael Johnston. And with that, another episode of the iPhone LA podcast is out the door.
Go team.
An iPod. A phone. I wrote a piece for a column that we used to do, and it was basically a lot like macOS Ken, except it was not Apple related at all. And it was the first, I can't remember, it wasn't a search engine, I can't remember what it was, but basically it was something that was going to translate Chinese into proper URLs.
So what are we going to do?
And I wrote on it, you can check it out online at walking man, man with a funny hat, little house on three stilts.com.
No. And we were not supposed to talk about our cats tonight, right?
You can talk about your cat as long as it has something to do with the iPhone.
Nope, I got nothing.
You can make something up.
I could make something up, yeah. But, you know, yeah.
We're going to edit all this out.
Yeah, well, what you need is the Jeopardy music. You know, just do your own thing. Just do it yourself.
Well, you can do it. You were doing great just then.
All right, we'll do it for you. Do 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 do.
Thank you.
There you go. Now you've got it. That's going to be your new ringtone, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
The fingers. Yuck. Made up.